Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Andrew, for reading that passage for us as we begin our message today. We're in our series titled Be, and so far we talked about be authentic, be persistent, be encouraged, be certain, and today, be contagious. Several years ago, Bill Hybels and Mark Middleburg wrote a popular book titled Becoming a Contagious Christian. They suggested that we should make Christianity so appealing that others would be irresistibly drawn to Jesus Christ through our example. In the book, they give this formula: high potency plus close proximity plus clear communication equals maximum impact. In other words, if Christ has made a powerful difference in our lives, and if we have a close relationship with unbelievers, and if we communicate the gospel clearly and plainly, we should be able to win them to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the gospel is not going to appeal to every person. No matter how contagious we are, some people will reject the gospel. Jesus warned us that some would be offended by the cross. He told us that people love darkness more than they do the light. But here's the thing. But the problem is, many Christians today make the gospel so unattractive. Mark Twain said, Christians are dull and boring. And Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. And why is that important? Because salt does two things. Salt flavors and salt preserves, and both of them are important because as salt, we don't want to leave a bad taste in someone's mouth when we encounter them and meet with them and talk with them, right? We want them to have a good opinion of us, but by the same token, salt preserves, and I believe the only reason the world is still in existence today is because of God's people, who are the preservative that keeps the world from decaying. Jesus also said that you are the light of the world, and light should attract. That's what light does. Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, he says, in every way, make the teaching about our God attractive. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the passage that was read a few moments ago, verses 11 to 21, tells us how to be contagious Christians. And so Paul says, and this is the theme verse for the message this morning. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, we are ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you, be reconciled to God. So I have four words that are going to kind of guide us through our text today. The first word is transparency. Transparency. You see, we should be transparent in our intentions to evangelize. In verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And so we know what it is to fear the Lord. You see, there is a respect for the authority of God in your life and in my life. And we respect God as the sovereign of the universe. We value Jesus as the only Savior. And we honor the Bible as a light unto our path. And since we know what it is to fear the Lord, Paul says we persuade men. We don't force them. We rather try to influence them. That's what salt does. That's what light does. And since we know this, we do everything in our power to try to persuade people to come to Christ so that they can be saved. Now, there are a couple of reasons why the world doesn't necessarily understand why we try to persuade men. And there are a couple of reasons behind it. The first reason behind it is we're commanded to. You look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, Acts chapter 1. In all those passages, we have the Great Commission of Christ urging us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But there's a second reason why we share it. It's human nature to share good news if you really believe it's helpful. So someone says, you know what, I have an ache in my back. And how many people will come up and say, you know, I have a remedy for that. Or they're going to give you advice on how you can get rid of that pain in your back because they had a pain in their back. There's something within the human person that just wants to help people. We just do that, and people will come out of the woodwork with remedies and ideas on how we can be helped. Well, we know that the Lord gives us eternal life, and we know that Jesus died for us, and we just have to share that message with other people. And if we don't share that message with other people, there's only two conclusions. One, we do not believe it. Let me give you a verse for that. Chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to what Paul says. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. If you believe, you speak. And if you don't speak, you don't believe. Or, secondly, we don't care about people. That's really what it boils down to, right? So if we don't speak, either number one, we don't believe it, or number two, we don't really care about our fellow man, right? I mean, if you know there's a heaven and a hell, how can you not persuade people, right? And so we have to. Paul says in verse 14 that the love of Christ, it compels us. One translation says it leaves us no choice. We just have to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 28, or 26 rather, the Apostle Paul was before King Agrippa. And in this courtroom, he gives his testimony. He was an unbeliever, and he was encouraged by Jesus on the road of Damascus to become a Christian. And we read in Acts chapter 26, verse 12, the first verse. We read, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority, commissioned from the chief priest. And then in verse 19, he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And then jump down to verse 27, and we'll read to verse 29. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost altogether. Let me read that over again. That I might become both almost altogether such as I am, except for these chains. And so it was Paul's nature to try to persuade every person to become a Christian. And so we're not supposed to sneak up on people, but we need to tell people that Jesus Christ is the only cure for sin. And the Bible's clear on this. And so Jesus has come that we might have life, and we might have life more abundantly, right? And so we want to communicate that to people, that you can have a better life than you have right now. And people don't know that because they're blinded, because of the darkness of this world, because of Satan. And it's our responsibility to turn a light on. It's our responsibility to help them see the value of becoming a Christian. And so a Christian, I believe, should be transparent in their behavior. And there's just something contagious about people who don't have a mask on. What you see is what you get. There's something attractive about sincere, transparent lives. There's just something that's very contagious about that. There's no pretense there. They're just genuinely real. And that's what we're called to be as well. But the second word is intensity. You see, if we want to reach souls, we need to be intense in our effort to try to bring people to Christ. I don't know if any one of us can say that I'm intense in trying to bring the gospel to other people. One of the characteristics that influences people is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, wherever you see it, it's contagious. Now, this doesn't mean that you're noisy or you're loud. It just means you're very passionate. And people who are passionate, there's something that's very contagious about that. I don't know, how many of you have seen Emeril, the chef? right? So when he's cooking and doing his deal, you know, he'll go, bam, you know. I mean, he's very intense about cooking food, and you can just see it as the man is preparing the food and talking about the spices and the food he's cooking, very passionate. Or what about Dick Vitale? That's the most passionate sports announcer in sports. There's nobody like Dick Vitale. If you're not excited about the game, if he's, you know, on air, you're going to get excited about it because he's exciting. There's something about him. He's a very passionate sports announcer. I'm not saying that you need to be the rah-rah type, but there should be an intensity about us to try to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If there is a heaven and a hell, then we are obligated to tell people with intensity. Jesus wept with tears over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I've sought to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And he wept as he spoke those words because he loved the people that he was talking to. Or what about the Apostle Paul? In Acts chapter 20, he's in Miletus and he calls the elders of Ephesus down. And he says, I've warned everyone night and day with tears. Well, let me ask you, have you ever shed tears sharing the gospel with a friend or a family member? Because Jesus did. Paul did. You see, we are Christ ambassadors, and we should have a sense of intensity about us. We have a huge task before us. It's not going to get done if we just aimlessly kind of go through life. We need to know that we're ambassadors for Christ. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is not just to gather on a Sunday morning. Our mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the mission. That's what Jesus said to go and do. He didn't say just have church services. He never said that. Not once did he say that. Our mission is to go and preach the gospel to people who don't know God so that they can know God and have a relationship with him. But there's a third word, perceptivity. Paul says the world judges men basically on externals. You know, we look at people and we judge people. And that's what the world does. But if we're going to win people to Jesus Christ, we must see people the way the Lord sees people. And so Jesus always saw in other people what people did not see. For example, Saul of Tarsus. When people saw Saul, what did they think? Well, that's a murderer. I mean, that's a guy we need to fear, right? That was the thought that many people had when they thought about Saul of Tarsus. But Jesus saw potential in Paul. Saul, who was later named Paul. He saw potential in Saul that no one else saw. And so he appeared to Saul, and Saul was converted, and he became, without a doubt, the one person who influenced the world more so than any other person in Christianity. He wrote half the books of the New Testament. Paul wrote Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. He wrote all those books, and look at his missionary journeys. I mean, Paul was always on the road trying to share the gospel with someone. He went by sea, he went by foot, and I suppose he went by horseback or donkey or something like that at times. But he didn't have airplanes and cars and trains and stuff to travel. But he went throughout the known world to make Christ known. And so Jesus saw something in Saul that nobody else saw. Or what about Peter? When Jesus saw Peter in Matthew chapter 16, what did he say? You are a rock. You're a large stone. That's what he said. Now, most people, when you looked at Peter, you just saw a guy who was a hothead and often put his foot in his mouth, right? That's Peter. But Jesus saw Peter as a rock. And he was given the keys to open the kingdom of heaven to men in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, and 2 to the Jews and 10 to the Gentiles. So Jesus saw in Peter what nobody else saw in Peter. Or what about the woman of Samaria? I mean, she seemed to be an immoral woman. She'd been married 5 times, now living with a man. She was of another religion, but Jesus saw that this woman could be an effective communicator of good news. And she was, because she went back to her town and said, "Let me tell you about a man who told me everything about my life." And the whole town came out to encounter Jesus through this one immoral woman. But Jesus saw potential in this woman that nobody else saw. And so, how do you see people? Are you looking at the externals? Is it what you see, or do you see what could be? It's important that you see what could be. And what could be, Paul tells us in verse 17 in our text. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so that's the reality. If people come to faith in Christ, they can be completely transformed, made new in Jesus Christ. When I was at Harding University, we went to Scotland for our foreign missionary campaign. We spent 16 days there, and then we came back to London to meet up with the other half of the class that did a campaign for 16 days in London. And they were sharing a story with us, how they were going down a street. And as they were going down the street, they noticed there were 3 guys over here, and they were like Hell's Angels types in London. I mean, they looked mean. They had beards and chains hanging all over them, you know, leather jackets and skin showing everywhere. And so they decided, you know what, let's just go on the other side of the street, and we'll just preach, and we'll get past them. Then we'll come back over and go on down the road. See, they were going to skip these guys because, well, these are bikers. They look mean and they look wild. And so as they began to cross the street and made their way, bikers said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And so they were compelled to come over and say, "Well, we're on a campaign and we're sharing the gospel with people." One of those bikers became a Christian. And 3 weeks later, he died. But they were going to go, because we were in correspondence with him after his conversion, but they were going to go around this guy, because these 3 guys, because they just looked like they were the wrong type of people, right? And so they judged by what they saw. Rather than just sharing the gospel with them and just saying, you know, hey, Jesus can change you. So I think it's important that we see people the way Jesus sees people. But then fourth and last, ministry. You see, we can make Christianity contagious if we're committed to our ministry from God. In verse 18, he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." If man is going to be reconciled to God, it's because we, God's people, share the gospel with those who are lost. Otherwise, they're not going to become Christians, because the gospel of reconciliation has been given to us and to us alone. You see, you have a ministry of reconciliation, and you've been given this ministry by God. And it's important that we understand that people have this huge, unpayable debt of sin. And the good news is, and we need to tell people, is that God paid that debt for them. And not only does God pay the debt, but God imputes unto us his righteousness. In verse 21, Paul says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so when we become a Christian, God washes away our sins, the debt is paid, and then he imputes to our account the very righteousness of Jesus. So if you're a Christian, you are as right as God Almighty is right. But it's not because of anything you've done. It's this gift that God gives to people. It's the gift of righteousness. It's not earned righteousness by keeping the law or doing all the things Jesus says do. That's not how you become righteous. You become righteous when you, by faith in Christ, obey the gospel. Then God imputes to you his righteousness And that means you are right with him. And the only way you can be right with God is to have an imputed righteousness, because you don't have any. Right? Because when you sin, you become a lawbreaker. So you're not righteous. And it's up to God to make you righteous. And he does. And so, it's your ministry to bring those who are at odds with God and to make peace between them. God has given us this tremendous responsibility. You see, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're not negotiators. We're called to preach the word, not edit the word, not try to make the word more palatable to people. And I'm always offended when I see on television, when you see, you know, smoke machines in church and lights flashing all over the place and music playing in the background when they're given the invitation, because all that does is draw on the heartstrings of people. It's an emotional response. It's not a response. Why do you need to do that? Isn't the gospel enough? Yes, it is. The gospel is all that we need to proclaim. We don't have to edit it in any way, shape, or form. And so we live to serve. And Christianity becomes very contagious when you serve. Paul says in verse 15, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." And so let me ask you this morning, are you proclaiming the good news? Do you realize the tremendous responsibility that God has given you, that you are ambassadors for him, that it's your job and your responsibility to reconcile men to God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you doing that? And if not, let me remind you of the charge of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And so I urge you, go and reconcile men to God. Preach the gospel. For those of you who've never obeyed the gospel this morning, if you've never been reconciled to God, I want to encourage you to be reconciled to God. Why? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Because there's coming a day when we are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of our life. And if I'm not right with God, if I haven't had my sins forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to be condemned at the judgment. That's what the Bible says. And so there is no salvation outside of Christ. There's no conversion after death. When you die, your fate is sealed at that moment. You know when you die if you're going to be with God in eternity or you're going to be without God in eternity. It's not a puzzle. And so the only way you can be right with God is to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be washed of your sins in his precious blood. And we do this by believing the gospel, by repenting of our sins, by confessing with our mouth, and by being buried with him in the waters of baptism. If you've never done that, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to encourage you to come to faith in Christ. You may do that as we sing.